In this particular case, though, Rincewind couldn't go home because it actually wasn't there anymore. There was a city straddling the River Ark, but it wasn't one he'd ever seen before. It was white and clean, and didn't smell like a privy full of dead herrings. He landed in what had once been the Plaza of Broken Moons, and also in a state of some shock. There were fountains. There had been fountains before, of course, but they had oozed rather than played, and they'd look like thin soup. There were milky flagstones underfoot with little glittery bits in, and although the sun was sitting on the horizon like half a breakfast grapefruit, there was hardly anyone around. Normally, Ankh was permanently crowded, the actual shade of the sky being a mere background detail. Smoke drifted over the city in long, greasy coils from the crown of boiling air above the university. It was the only movement apart from the fountains. Rincewind had always been rather proud of the fact that he always felt alone, even in the teeming city, but it was even worse being alone when he was all by himself. He rolled up the carpet and slung it over one shoulder and padded through the haunted streets towards the university. The gates hung open to the wind. Most of the buildings looked half-ruined by misses and ricochets. The Tower of Sorcery, far too high to be real, seemed to be unscathed. Not so the old Tower of Art. Half the magic aimed at the tower next door seemed to have rebounded on it. Parts of it had melted and started to run, some parts glowed, some parts had crystallized, a few parts seemed to have twisted partly out of their normal three dimensions. It made you feel sorry even for stone that it should have to undergo such treatment. In fact, nearly everything had happened to the tower except actual collapse. It looked so beaten that possibly even gravity had given up on it. Rincewind sighed and padded round the base of the tower towards the library, towards where the library had been. There was the arch of the doorway, and most of the walls were still standing, but a lot of the roof had fallen in, and everything was blackened by soot. Rincewind stood and stared for a long time. Then he dropped the carpet and ran, stumbling and sliding, through the rubble that half blocked the doorway. The stones were still warm underfoot. Here and there the wreckage of a bookcase still smouldered. Anyone watching would have seen Rincewind dart backwards and forwards across the simmering heaps, scrabbling desperately among them, throwing aside charred furniture, pulling aside lumps of fallen roof with less than superhuman strength. They would have seen him pause once or twice to get his breath back, then dive in again, cutting his hands on shards of half-molten glass from the dome of the roof. They would have noticed that he seemed to be sobbing. Eventually, his questing fingers touched something warm and soft. The frantic wizard heaved a charred roof beam aside, scrabbled through a drift of fallen tiles, and peered down. There, half squashed by the beam and baked brown by the fire, was a large bunch of overripe, squashy bananas. He picked one up very carefully and sat and watched it for some time until the end fell off. Then he ate it.
"We shouldn't have let him go like that," said Kanina.
"How could we have stopped him, O beauteous doe-eyed eagle?"
"But he might do something stupid."
"I should think that is very likely," said Creosote primly.
"While we do something clever and sit on a baking beach with nothing to eat or drink, is that it?"
"You could tell me a story," said Creosote, trembling slightly. "Shut up."
The Seraph ran his tongue over his lips.
"I suppose a quick anecdote is out of the question," he croaked.
Kanina sighed. "There's more to life than narrative, you know."
"Sorry, I lost control a little there."
Now that the sun was well up, the crushed shell beach glowed like a salt flat. The sea didn't look any better by daylight. It moved like thin oil. Away on either side, the beach stretched in long, excruciatingly flat curves, supporting nothing but a few clumps of withered dune grass, which lived off the moisture in the spray. There was no sign of any shade.
"The way I see it," said Kanina, "this is a beach, and that means sooner or later we'll come to a river, so all we have to do is keep walking in one direction."
"And yet, delightful snow on the slopes of Mount Eritor, we do not know which one."
Nigel sighed and reached into his bag.
He said, "excuse me. Would this be any good? I stole it. Sorry."
He held out the lamp that had been in the treasury.
"It's magic, isn't it?" he said hopefully. "I've heard about them. It's worth a try, isn't it?"
Creosote shook his head.
"But you said your grandfather used it to make his fortune," said Kanina.
"A lamp," said the Seraph. "He used a..."